Okay, good morning. One last thing we want to do before we say goodbye to Pesel Micha. And there's one last, a much shorter piece from a tzaddik that's very worthwhile to do. Just pass that around. From the Tzidkas HaTzaddik, Oskuf Pei Aleph. There's one more thing we'd like to talk about this Yonasan, this Levi, the one who was the priest for idol worship. I guess some of you'd like to know what happened to him at the end. Yeah, whatever happened to him at the end? Well, everybody dies at the end. But was he just a priest for the Pesel Micha for Shevet Dan for the rest of his life? Or maybe something else interesting happened in his life. So let's take a look. Tzedek will bring a chazal, statement of the rabbis, and also will mention a very beautiful idea. So right at the top. Kol adam yesh lo chemda miyuchedes. Everyone has a special chemda. What's a good Hebrew word, English term for chemda? A desire?
Charm.
No, chamad, lo sachmod, lo sachmod. He wants to desire something. No, desirous, wanting strongly. Uba'osa davar shechemdaso v'tavaso goveres biyoser. And in that area, we have his strongest desires and strongest lusts, strongest coveting. In that area, b'davar za'atzmo, that very same area, it becomes a vessel that is ready to become a blessing of God. If you return to God with all your heart. Meaning to say, your greatest weakness can become your greatest strength. Hainu, how is this? Lahakir. Shechem dezu hanetua bo mehashem yisbarachu. To know that this yearning and this desiring and this coveting is something that God did put in you. So remember, you know, why is it that you have this proclivity strongly in this area? Because Hashem put it in you. And he obviously, if he puts something in you, it has to ultimately be for a good purpose. V'zeh sha'amru chazal, this is what our rabbis tell us in Tractate Baba Basra, Kuf Yud. On the words in the Pasuk, we see that David HaMelech, he made certain appointments. King David, we're fast-forwarding many years. King David made a number of appointments, and one of them was, now I get it, you have to add a few words into what's here. It says, Ushvuel, that's the name of a person, Shvuel. Now add the following, because it says, Vigomer. Continuing, I'll add it for you. Ushvuel ben Gershom, Ben Moshe, Nagid al Ha'otzaros. David appointed a person by the name of Shvuel, the son of Gershom, the son of Moshe. Who is that?
Yonatan.
That's our Yonatan. Yonatan was Yonatan ben Gershom ben Menashe, but we know that's not Menashe, it's Moshe. He appointed him to be like the treasurer, the guy in charge of the treasure houses. Right? So they asked, who is this guy? So look at the word. Let's go with his name. Shvuel. What does Shvuel stand for?
There's Hashem in him.
Shavu. Shavu. He did tshuva. Shvuel. He did tshuva to God. So this guy who did tshuva to God, who was the son of Gershom and Moshe, he became like a royal officer over the treasury. Now, why did David appoint him, of all people? So let's understand, what was the ultimate downfall? Why did Yonatan buy into working for Micha and at the end for Shevet Dan? What was one of the most important selling points? The money. He was looking for his fame and fortune, and the guy offered him a nice, substantial parnasa. To work for him, if you recall. And when Dunn gave him a better offer, he took a better offer. So was he really into the idol worship because he loved the idol worship so much? He needed a parnasa. Nebuch, he needed a parnasa. So it was a great drive. He had a great yearning. He had a lust for money. Okay, so that was his. But if Hashem gives you a lust for money, it must be for to be used in a good way. So how could, you know, lusting, wanting money, holding money, taking money, how could it be used in a good way? So let's continue. Kivan Shara David Shimon and Chaviva love Biyoser. Since David saw that money was so precious to him beyond for most people, so therefore Binohu Al HaOtzro. So he appointed him over the treasuries. You understand? Because what does a guy in treasury do? He takes money. He's a guy who knows how to get money out of people. He makes sure the taxes are paid properly. You understand? So it's taking the drive to want money and using it in a positive way, bringing it into Hashem's treasury, that it could be used for good things.
So he's in the time of David HaMelech?
What?
He lived in the time of David
HaMelech. Yes. So obviously he must have lived a long life.
Huh?
David HaMelech is in Sefer Shoftim is over. He comes into play about 50 years after that. Okay, 50 years or so. So again, if you learn like the Radak, well, either way it's a challenge, but either way it's a grandson of Moshe Rabbeinu, so he's got to put it, log in a lot of years. The period of Shoftim, you know, that whole period of time is around 400 years. Right, so this guy lived a long time.
Yeah.
He lived a long time. Right. Now, according to many opinions, so we're going to have to see exactly what's going on over here. Let's keep reading. So he saw he loved money, so he appointed him to be in charge of the treasuries. Vahareotzros ain't shalo, but let's look at this. The treasury isn't his. The treasuries doesn't give him any money. How are we going to satiate that drive for money? How is being the treasurer satiating the drive for money? If it's because of the wages he gets. He gets paid per year to be the treasurer. Well, who had din imhayim amun al davaracha? He could have appointed him on anything. He could have been appointed to watch the stables and got paid a yearly salary. Ach ba'emes, but the truth is, dorshu shame, they explain the name Ushvuel. Shvuel. When you say, sheshav b'chalibo. He did tshuva with all his heart. Vatshuva, and what is the tshuva on specifically? He has now taken that yearning, that desire, and he's brought it back to its roots. In other words, Hashem implanted, there's no such thing as an evil, bad desire in its natural root. The natural root of any desire in this world comes from Hashem. It has to be a holy and a good desire. That's the root of it. Now we can sometimes take it and misappropriate it, but there is always a holy root. If you take it all the way back to the way God, when he created this individual, says, I gave you a certain yearning to be used in a beautiful way. So now he did tshuva and took it all the way back to its root. Umakir shalom, yisbarach hakesef of himself, and he recognizes that all the money in the world belongs to Hashem. So in other words, you can have a desire. You could like money. Hashem can give you a desire to like money. But the holy way to use it is, I like all this money knowing it's all Hashem's money, and I'm going to make sure to use Hashem's money in the best way that He wants it used. And that's the real reason to like money. Because, you know, Hashem wants that money. The whole idea, why does a person, let's look at the evil part. Why does a person want money? I'm not too much. What do you want so much money for? Well, what can the money do for you? The money has a power. The money has a certain power. If you have a lot of money, you can accomplish a lot for yourself. Right? I now have a lot of money. I can be a politician. I can boss the politicians around. It's always better to be in that position. Remember, the smart people are not the politicians. They're the ones who are telling the politicians what to do. So if I have enough money, I can make the economy the way I want it. And then I'll get kavod. I'm going to use money for what money can do. That's what. But what's the problem with it? What can you do for me? That's the problem. But if you say, I'm going to take the money, you say, what it can do? What can it do? It can help starving people. It could build a shul. It can build a school. It could pay, make sure the teachers get paid on time. And I'm going to be running for that money. And I'm going to go after people. I'm going to extract money out of people. It's a skill. It's a skill to know how to get money out of people, right? But I'm doing it for one thing, because I know it's Hashem's money, and it's not doing good sitting in someone else's pocket getting 0.1% interest till the guy dies. That's not what the money's meant for. So I have a talent to get it out of people. But not for me. Because it's really, I know it's Hashem's money. And we want Hashem's money to be used in the best way possible. So now he's using the talent of loving money, but loving it for what the purpose is. So David HaMelech understood, hey, this guy was Yonatan. Who look how much he loves money. He's willing to be a Kohen for idol worship because he loves money. So you know what? That's a pretty strong attribute he's got there. If he's doing tshuva, then I've got the right man to run the treasury. Therefore, he's able to run the treasury of David HaMelech. Remember what we said in the piece from Tzadik yesterday. What was missing for the Jewish people to get the land of Israel? The Malchus of David, that attribute of Malchus, royalty, to make it happen. So now David HaMelech, only David HaMelech, who had the attribute of Malchus. In other words, what's Malchus saying? This guy had an attribute, and we're not using it right. So what attribute do you need to correct the attributes? Malchus. Malchus makes the initial attributes work in the right direction. Make it happen. So now, what's the root of the person wants money? It's probably chesed. Chesed, kindness, but misdirected kindness. Kindness to myself and not to other people. So David HaMelech, Shem Malchuso Midas Malchus Shemayim, that his kingdom is the kingdom of Hashem. V'chom Minuyo, and all his appointments, Hainu Shamamuna al Osa Dover Hayumakariota Lahaknus Hakol Elyon Kadesh Mamaris. He understood, whoever he appointed understood that he could acquire everything for above, for Hashem's service. And once that happens, Vagam Bracha Botsaras Ba'al Yaros, now blessings in the treasury will happen through that person. Kivan Sheyitzra Hashem Yisbarach Babriya. Homemade moment, since the Hashem created in that person a yetzer, a desire, a drive to want money. So now he got the right guy wanting money, and now we got him in the right position, wanting it to build up the treasurers. He has a lot of power to do a good job. Since he returned with all his heart, and that's what Gemara says, he returned with all his heart. So therefore, Harei Birchas Hashem B'Momen Al Yoreh, the blessings will come to the money through him. So you see, right, that in the merit of Moshe Rabbeinu, that he was able to be saved. He was able to be saved. Yonatan finally, it would appear to be many years. If this Pesel Micha was in the beginning of the times of the Shoftim, so according, again, to which shot you want to use, It ran until the, let's say, Shiloh the Arden was taken away, until Shiloh no longer existed. So that, he ran the gamut for about 300 odd years. But then from the time of Shiloh stopping until David HaMelech came, I'm guesstimating about 100 years, let's say. So now, once he was out of a job, you see, eventually the Pesel Micha stopped. Right, that's what we said 2 days ago. Pesel Micha stopped. For whatever reason you want to say. But it was stopped. So now that it stopped, I guess he had time to do tshuva. So he spent a long time doing tshuva. So now I got a guy doing tshuva. That's good. Oh, but we're still not out of the woods. Still not out of the woods.
You're saying this guy lived for 400
years? He must have. If he's a grandson. Well, again, remember, Pinchas lived a long time. There are some people who lived a long time. It has to be that way also, doesn't it? If you have such a wonderful person like Pinchas, who lived such a long time, Pinchas is, right, from the times of before the Jews went into Eretz Yisrael. And he's throughout, you're going to see him in the next chapter. He's in the next chapter. And if Pinchas is Eliyahu, right, Eliyahu goes into the times of the kings, Sefer Malachim. If you got a good guy running a streak for a long time, living a long time, we have a spiritual rule. And what's that rule? Zelu mazel. This one as opposed to this. There has to be spiritual equilibrium. So it's got to be a negative force that's hanging around such a long time as well. It has to be. Right? If there's a tzaddik who lives a long time, there's got to be a rush who lives a long time. It's not possible otherwise. Right? I mean, you have no problem. Your eyebrows don't raise when we say Pinchas lives 500 years.
No, there's a Moshe lived 120. Also, how long did
you have live? Unique people. You have some unique. We know Serach Bas Asher. Serach Bas Asher. Serach, the daughter of Asher, lived until and through, and we did the Exodus of Egypt. So she lived well more than 210 years. There are unique people that Hashem does this for. What do you call them? What do you call that? Lord of the Rings? Those guys like live for hundreds of years. These guys got this ring in place. I don't know. But Hashem gives a few people. You don't have to worry about that. Hashem can do anything. It's not a problem. It's not a problem. Right? But that's a beautiful idea. A beautiful idea that he eventually did tshuva, because, you know, that which Moshe wanted to do to everybody, to get them to have the clarity, to come closer to Hashem, eventually came to his grandson. But it's not so fast. One more paragraph. Okay. It also says in Mishlei, Tov ayin hu yivorach. A person with a good eye, he is the one who gives blessings. Such an expression. When we want to give benching to somebody, who leads the benching? The best criteria is he's a tov ayin, has a good eye. And we already explained on Shabbos about a half a year ago, what's a tov ayin? Tov ayin, really, he cares that everybody should have more than him. That's what a tov ayin. The last person he's thinking about is himself. That's a tov ayin, a good eye. He's the guy who gives blessing, because everything he does will be filled with blessing, obviously. So obviously what happened, for who hayat tsar ayin. So he must have been in the past a tsar ayin. A narrow eye, a jaundiced eye, a negative eye, cheap eye. As it says in Gemara Avodah Zarah. Gemara Avodah Zarah said, when people would come to Yonasan to bring a korban to the Pesel Micha, he would dissuade them from bringing it. And said, you know, this is not good. Bring something less. And then he would take the korban for himself. That's like real tsar ayin. That's like really negative eye. Like, whatever people want to give. No, you don't have to give them to Rabbi Oseh. No, that's not good. Well, you consecrate already, but you can't use it for anything else. But that, you don't give them that much. Give them something cheaper. And then on the side, he would take it for himself. That's how tsar ayin he was. This was Yonatan, the priest. He did. As it says in Yerushalmi. Okay, Vahainu, why was this? Third line of the next paragraph. Mishum chemdes mammon. Since he wanted money so much, ein etzor v'shal cherim. His eye was jaundiced towards others. So now, that, it goes hand in hand. Person lusts for money is a tsar ayin. It's a person with a constricted eye. He just thinks for himself. So now when you turn it around, and you take that lust for money, but you put it in the right place, that it should be directed for Hashem. So, b'makom tzarasayin, the place where there was this narrow eye, who tovas ayin. You get a good eye, kisheshav, when you return. Kinoda lakach. And that, as you understand, a bracha yoda, the bracha has to come through such a person. In other words, it's two things. If you love money a lot, so now what, that's the root of the problem. So what comes out of that? You become a tsar ayin. You can't take it that other people have. Right? You can't begrudge. What are you begrudging? Other guy's got money. I have to have it all. That's why you don't even like that other people have. So you do what you can to get it. So that's all spinning out of control in a negative way. But once you do tshuva in the right way, and you decide that money really belongs to Hashem, well, then you're a tov ayin. Then if for Hashem, then you want everybody to have, because Hashem really wants everybody to have. The whole thing we have to get over in life, just remember one little thing. Whose money is it? Sure. Once you get over that hump, over whose money it is, and I'm saying it's a little hump, once you know whose money it is, so many difficulties in life will go away. If you just, there's certain people you get a tremendous amount of pleasure when you have to collect money from. It's very few. The percentage is very low. But a certain people, you get a very good pleasure. And a certain person said, said to Yisrael, he says, I know this money's not mine. He says, sure, it's not my money, so what's the difference? I mean, he has to take care of it because he's a good executor over God's money. You know, God makes an executor over, I don't know, a couple $1,000,000. You have to take care that God doesn't lose any of that, and it's not, and it shouldn't be misappropriated. But once you know it's God's money, then it, you know, and what you get is just a fee as the executor. That's all you're entitled to, an executor's fee. So then you realize, then what's the problem with the money? You don't have no problem, so give it to who I have to give it to. So, you know, I have an obligation to take care of my family. Okay, so first obligation is my kids have to pay day school tuition, fine. But then once there's more money and I have what I need, it's okay, so now you give the rest away. You know, once you've taken care of what your family needs, okay, within reason, right, and you don't need to have houses that are bigger than what you need and all these kinds of things. So, you know, it's... So he realizes it's not mine. Once it's not yours, then you can have a tovayim. I've lots of money. I have lots of money to give away. So I'm happy to give it away. And Hashem will gladly, hopefully he'll give me more and I'll give more away. So that's, he becomes the tovayim, and tovayim hu yivarach. A tovayim, he's the one who makes he's the one who benches. Because what's the idea of benching? What's the idea of saying the grace after meals? What's the idea of benching? Is that we thank Hashem, he should give us more. Right? Why are we benching? Why should we spend 5 minutes on it? To say we recognize everything we just enjoyed, everything we had, it mamish came from you. It came from you, and we love you that you give us all this, right? So, and hopefully if you recognize that, you know, it comes from him, you're going to use it in the right way. So Hashem says, you recognize it comes from me, and you're going to use it in the right way, so of course I'm going to give you more. Right? Ah, so who should lead the benching? Mr. Penny Pincher? Right? Who doesn't give his guests a lot of food? Right? He's afraid, oh, if you're going to eat too much, I'm going to have Mr. Scrooge is going to miss a few bucks. And so, you don't want that guy to bench because he begrudgingly is thanking God. So you're not going to get any blessings out of that meal. You want a guy that's a tovayim. He's nice with the money. You know, even a poor person can be a tovayim because he can give things besides money. Right? So then this guy, the tovayim, since he was such a narrow eye. So now when you chew it, turns around, you become a good eye. So that's the guy who makes the bracha, and that means brachas will come. Dovna Machno, he's the guy who should be in charge of the treasury, because the treasury is going to be going crazy with lots of money, because they got a good eye running it. Ah, beautiful. Right? And that's what it also says, last thing after the brackets there. I'm sorry. Ayin Shom Yerushalmi. The Hu Navi Zokain, the base kale. That also, unfortunately, he was the old prophet in base kale, the false Navi for Yeravam ben Nevat. So remember what happened. We said there were two time frames as how long the Pesel Micha lasted. It stopped by when Shiloh stopped. But then it started up again when Yeravam ben Nevat put up the golden calves in Dan and Beersheba. So it seems that he was also, he went back and forth. He did tshuva for David HaMelech before David HaMelech's time. And then two generations later, in the times of Yeravam ben Nevat, he fell back in.
Yeah.
Yep.
Is that
it seems so. It seems so. So that's what it says. Amr Alav, they say about him, Gidola Lagima Shemashra, etc. The Pella Otu Echad Machal Chaveru Mashal Shchina. I guess that, you know, because remember that he was under the influence of Micha. Remember he said about Micha. Micha was a very kind person to guests. He was. You have to remember, on the other hand, he was kind to guests. So I guess he had that attribute. Rak lefi shubatovai nemer. They only say that about a tovayin. As it says, kinasa milach moladal. He would give from his bread to the poor man. But then, v'huaz chazer lekilkulo, but then he went back to his bad way, v'haya tsar ayin, and became a tsar ayin again. So therefore, lakach eso, therefore for him, hu rabus agro, it's a big chiddush, ki Hashem is brach don koledin, ki vimashu midosav, Hashem judges everyone accounts about exactly who he was. So you see that, you know, it took him a lot to overcome his tsaras ayin that he initially had. And therefore, when he became good, he was like really good. But then it appears later on, he went back to being bad. That's what it would appear from here. So anyway, that is the story of Yonatan. And with that, we can close this issue of Pesel Micha. And now we move on to Pilegesh Begiva, which is the final story, which will take us right up to Pesach. My calculations are, we'll finish it right before Pesach. And then I can leave you a little cliffhanger what we think we're going to do. I know what Shelley wants to do after Pesach, right? What do you want to do after Pesach?
What's the next book?
Next book is Shmuel.
There you go.
The book of Shmuel. All right, so everyone, you can email me your votes online. We'll have a contest. Name the shir. I don't know. Something else. And something else. I don't know. It's okay. It's for me. Learning is learning. Doesn't matter. I don't care what I give. The only thing is, I want to give something that people will come in here. I can give the most interesting class. If no one wants to hear it, there's no point in giving it.
Yeah. Yep. Topic's the problem. The time is the problem.
You'd be surprised.
If you do this at night, you probably have 30 people.
Well, I don't know. 20? Well, thank God, my daughter came to me. She's I don't know why she looked at the YouTube site. You know, she sees people who are watching this. So, Baruch Hashem, there's obviously a lot of people watching it on YouTube. So, not YouTube, KosherTube, I mean, KosherTube. So, thank God. You know, I don't have to say the numbers, but Baruch Hashem, there are people watching it. So, even though there's a handful in the morning, there's obviously a lot of people.
I like the Tanya's good.
Okay, we'll talk about it. Okay. Pasuk Aperik Yutes. New story. And this is wild, this one. This one is wild. And the Mefarshim, like, they really struggle to explain this properly. It's like totally wild. Perek Yates, Pasuk Aleph, chapter 19, verse 1. Now, before we start, you know, why do you think the Navi connects these two? Now, again, this story is not in chronological order either. Shmuel HaNavi, who wrote this, he left the two most outstanding stories to the end, because they really weren't in chronological order, but they really do typify a lot about what the generation of the Shoftim were. So, one connection you could say, because this is going to be an issue of immoralities coming up now. The issue of, it's called Pilegesh, the title here, just like we have a title, Pesel Micha, the title now is Pilegesh Begiva. Literally translated means the concubine in the city of Giva. Okay, which was in Shevet Binyamin. Okay, that's the story. So, the simple connection is that the Jewish people we saw from Pesel Micha, they worshipped idols. There was idol worship going on. And ultimately, why does anybody worship idols? For what ultimate purpose? To excuse what other errant behavior? Immorality. Because we know that the place of idol worship were terrible places of immorality. So the only reason, and Gemara says, the only reason the Jews got involved in idol worship is so they can get involved in immorality. Because, you know, if idol worship means you want gods to do what you want to do, so immorality follows suit, you do what you want to do. So that clearly, and we come to the ultimate low point for the Jewish people over there. So now let's look at a lot of similarities. Let's put your antennas up as we read Pasuk Aleph and see if you hear some things that sound familiar. Pasuk Aleph. It was on these days, there's no king amongst the Jewish people. Again, because there was no king, that's why such an atrocity was able to happen. There was a Levi man, Gor B'Yarkasei Har Ephraim, who lived in the fringes of Har Ephraim, of Shevet Ephraim. Vayikach lo isha pilegesh. He took for himself a woman who was a pilegesh, who we translate in English as a concubine. We'll explain what that is. And where was she from? Mi Beis Lechem Yehuda. From Beis Lechem Yehuda. Okay, is that any of those geographical areas sound familiar to you? Okay. Let's go back to Yonah's son. Okay, where did he come from? Where did he travel from? This hasn't been so many months ago. Really, sometimes I feel like I should give quizzes at the end of every chapter. The Levi came from Beis Lechem. It was a mixed marriage, right? Father was a Levite. The mother was from Yehuda, from Beis Lechem Yehuda. And this guy is a Levi. Where did Yonasan end up on his travelings? Where? Har Ephraim. It's also Har Ephraim. In the last chapter, the fellow was called a Nar. Now the guy's called an Ish. Now, there's not one Perush who says this, but it's almost like the Pasuk is screaming out that this could very well be the very same Levi. Could be. Doesn't say, but it's way too similar. You know, there are two guys with a similar bios. You know, the guy had a connection. He his mother was from Yehuda, Beis Lechem Yehuda, right? And this guy marries. So where do you think this guy would pick up a Pilegish from? Beis Lechem Yehuda is not a bad place. He's very familiar with that territory. And he's very familiar with Har Ephraim, with the area of Ephraim, right? So, again, it could very well be this fellow. Again, can't say for sure, but it could very well be this fellow. Question is, there's two issues that have to be understood now. What is a Pilegesh? And B, we will see that this Levi does not act too nicely to his Pilegesh. We'll have to find out, does he sin with what he does with his Pilegesh or not?
Is this a problem that he gets Pilegesh? Is that like an immoral act?
So we're going to talk about it. So the Rambam's opinion is a Pilegesh is only permitted to a king. And not to anybody else. So then that would be a problem if somebody else has a Pilegesh. Many Rishonim argue on that. And they say other people could have a Pilegesh. The next question is, what is the marital status of a Pilegesh? So Rambam says, you give her a Kiddushin, you do make a marriage ceremony, but she has no Ksuva. She has no Ksuva, no marriage contract. Others say... let me talk a little bit. You don't have to ask so many questions. Others say that she has no kiddushin at all. She has no, there's no betrothal, as it were, there's no kiddushin, but she is quote-unquote designated to this man. In other words, understand, it's this man, it's this woman's with this man. And there's a big machlokas rishonim, an argument amongst early rabbis, if a pilegesh is considered a married woman or not. Does she have the status of an eishes ish? A regular wife, there's kiddushin, there's a ksuva, this is a married woman, and if she would be with anybody else, and there'd be witnesses, she'd be put to death. So, does she have a status of eishes ish or not? So, that is also a discussion. So there's a lot of arguments exactly what is going on over here. So some say he sinned by taking a pilegesh, others say he didn't sin by taking a pilegesh. The best way to define a pilegesh, as Ramban says, is a woman who has a lesser status of a wife. In other words, a man, remember in the days of the Torah, people could have more than one wife. And according to many, you could have a wife and a pilegesh. Now, the pilegesh is more subservient than a regular wife. She's more subservient to the man. And obviously, this man must have been very persuasive to persuade this woman to become his Pilegesh. So again, the whole idea of a man having more than one wife, really, I don't want to get into that. This is not really the topic, although it would be a fascinating topic, but it would take us way too often. I'm just going to briefly discuss, and I don't want to get into a whole discussion on it. But the whole idea for a man to get married to a woman is that he should learn how to do chesed. That's the whole point, is he should learn how to do chesed. So there's nothing that would rule out that a man could do chesed to more than one wife, if he legitimately had a tovayin. And, you know, that would solve a lot of issues of loneliness for people. You know, what do you do, you know, when there's women who don't have, for whatever reason, have trouble finding a shidduch? You know, let's say, we can't do this nowadays, for the last 1,000 years it's prohibited, except for certain unique Sephardic groups. But you can't do it nowadays. But, you know, sometimes your heart breaks, you see people who are single, very nice, and they can't find a shidduch. It's terrible. So I can imagine the guy, let's say sincerely, you really feel bad for this person. And whatever, then you say, the guy would say to the wife, you know, I really feel so bad for her. She's so lonely. She's such a nice person. Would you mind, dear, if I married her too? Now, if the wife had the same compassion for this woman, she'd say, you know, be a big chesed to marry her. You know, So, you know, if the person would be able, now, of course, there's a lot of psychological dynamics involved here, and we're not playing that down. But if everybody understood, you know, what are we here in this world for? But just to do chesed to other people. You know, like sometimes, you know, spouses feel a bit of ownership on another spouse. You have to remember, just like we said by money, you don't own any of the money. If it's all God's, guess what? You don't own your spouse either. Your spouse also belongs to God. And I'll tell you more, and you belong to God. You know, that's what people mess up, right? Okay, so, you know, I belong to God, my husband belongs to God. We're here for one reason, to do kindness in this world, to make people happy the Torah way, to bring God's glory into this world. So when a man and woman are together, it brings the Shekhinah. But look at this other person. They're not married. This person, if as we've spoken so many times, a person who is not married has a great challenge in being able to bring out all their midos properly, right? That Tzelem Elokim is only with a married couple, right? So that person's not getting married. It's a Rachmon. This person's not going to have the Tzelem Elokim. And if it really would be proper, the wife would go to the husband and say, you know, my girlfriend, Sor Leia, she's mama said, well, do me a favor. Can you marry her, please, also? It'll be really nice. It'll be good. You know, the rabbis understood that people's mindsets we're so into ourselves, we can't even think that way. And nowadays to suggest it would be ridiculous. Nowadays we think it's unthinkable. It's only because the whole world is selfish. That's all it is. You know, the idea of a jealous wife, you know, is not such a great idea. It's not such a great idea. Or a jealous husband. It's not a good idea. Because it's like, I own that guy and nobody better touch him. What do you mean you own the guy? It's Hashem's guy, not you. You're lucky you're with him. Right? So maybe you should share. Now, there's different ways you could share. You know, you have to share a husband to let him go out at night and learn Torah. It's not your husband. A lot of wives, I don't know why, they think they own their husbands. They're really destroying their husbands because they think they own them. You know, a wife has to know. I don't know. You know, we're together. We have a family. We have time together. But I know my job, my husband's job is to learn Torah. That's his job. That's his job. He works for the Almighty, not for me. Okay, he also has to provide me money that the Ksuva says. Fine. He has to be a good father. But since when do I have to make him into the second nanny? Ladies, I hope you're listening to it. Okay? Your husband. You know, your wife is also not the reverse as well. A wife is not a second nanny either. But the problem is, each spouse thinks the other spouse is a second nanny or the first nanny. If you get married to a guy, you gotta know that there's the main reason you're married to him is to provide him with the ability to be able to be a Talmud Chacham. Right? And if that would happen, there'd be more guys 3 weeks before Pesach sitting and learning. And not doing all the Pesach cleaning. I'm not saying they can't do any. But you have to admit that. I own my husband. And there wouldn't be some husbands doing a million carpools at night instead of them learning Torah. You understand? So obviously a woman who thinks she owns her husband thinks she's gonna let him have a Pilegesh. We're so far removed from this. We have no concept of what real kindness means. Right? So therefore, the rabbi says, it's not a good idea because you got all these wives who think they own their husbands. You imagine you have two wives thinking they own their husbands? What's going to go? All hell will break loose. But there was a time when people were less selfish. Okay? And they understood. You could have Rachmanis, Nebuchadnezzar. This single girl is not finding a sheikh. She's not the most attractive woman. You have to have Rachmanis on her. Rachmanis, okay, so I'll marry her too. And you know, and there's many other things that could really, if the two ladies could learn to get along, it could be really work out really well. It could really work out better. You know, sometimes the wife's in a sour mood. You know, she needs a friend, and sometimes the husband can't be the right friend. So they got the other, the Pilegesh, whatever. But anyway, the Pilegesh certainly is considered what we call a second class wife, and it's sanctioned if they're agreeable. You know, what do you have a woman who, she can't get married. She can't get married. Right? But you know, why don't you come to our house? You'll be my wife. You'll help in the house. You know, you have to remember, there weren't social agencies 1,000 years ago. A woman who had no man, what did she become? A hooker. Right? What else could you be? How else you make a parnasa 2,000 years ago? Why is it the oldest profession? I mean, what did we took her to social programs and trained her to be what? Remember, like, going back 2,000 years ago, what would a woman be able to do if she wasn't married with children? What, is she going to run for office? He couldn't. What would she do? And she's the one to take care of her. She's the only one parnasa. You can't blame women if they got involved in that. So why don't you do something in a bekavidika way, in an honorable way, and says, listen, you know, there's plenty of room in our house. You'll be my pilegish. So what does that mean? Listen, I have my wife, and my wife is my wife, and we're soulmates. I mean, you can't be my soulmate. I mean, I got my one soulmate. That's what it is. But you know what? You know, listen, you want to have some intimacy. Okay, so I'll give you a little intimacy. And okay, you'll help in the house, and you'll help clean, you'll help this, and you'll have a comfortable home, and you'll live as a mensch, and you're my pilegish. You know, if we throw off all our negative stereotypes about, you know, hookers and pimps and all these, that world that we think about, if we take that out, then you realize, you know, there could be a beautiful aspect in this. But you have to be a very special person to be able to do this. Right? But anyway, that's the idea of a pilegish, where we would say a subservient wife. And certainly it's a better lifestyle than being out in the street. So that is who he had, this Pilegesh. And tomorrow we will continue into the very difficult story that it presents before us. Okay, have a good day.